Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and today we are recapping episode number 7 of Survivor 48. We get Double Boot, probably the two people most of us thought were going home. I still had a little bit of a feeling that maybe Chrissy would go until her name never came up, but I was like, man, her edit wasn't very good, so maybe it could be her. And then she started blowing up at Tribal, and I was like, maybe it'll be her. Nope. We got Cedric and Say. They're both out in the same episode, which I think is kind of like poetic for everything that we saw with this tribe. And now Mary is the last remaining person from the original Vula tribe. And we are final 10. That's crazy. So anyway, what's going on, Will? What'd you think?
I'm pretty lukewarm on this episode, I got to say. I don't love the splitting into two groups. I've never really been a fan of that. At least last season, it wasn't a double boot. And it was just one of these groups going. But you know, we're cramming a lot into two episodes, two full tribal councils, two full strategy sessions before tribal council. But you kind of said, you took the words right out of my mouth. These were kind of the people you would expect to go home when you look at this tribe division. And we didn't really get an upending of that. We didn't get that many dramatics. Now, obviously, Cheyenne's name came to the forefront, and there did look like maybe a real case of him going home. So that was a little bit fun. I think they did some clever things with the editing that we can talk about. So there are some fun moments. The challenge was really fun. I thought the challenge was awesome. I love the banter, love the back and forth. So that was a fun part, but I don't know. When we talk about a problem with new era merges is we merge, and you say this all the time, we merge, then we don't merge. It's like, if we merge, why can't we see what this group of 12 people looks like together? Let's see them all play together and interact. And I do think this is a product of having 26 days. I mean, you have to double eliminate at some point. And I guess it's better to do it earlier than later so that when you do split into groups, they aren't too small. But I mean, it's again, Survivor loving small groups voting together. We start with 3 tribes of 6 every season of the new era. And so often in these new era seasons after the merge, we split and we go into 2 groups of 6, or sometimes we've had 2 groups of 5. I don't know if that's my favorite Survivor to watch. You know, there's this excitement when everyone gets together and merges, and then you just split them up. So I don't know. I'm not a fan of that twist. I don't know if we had anything that exciting tonight. It's not like I hated the episode, but I don't even feel that we have that much to like. There's not a lot of meat on the bone. Phil, that's maybe what I'm getting at.
I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like there's plenty that was established in this episode that's going to lead to you know, what the end game of this season actually looks like. I mean, we're over halfway through the season now. We're going to have 13 episodes. So we did get kind of a line drawn here of this is where the alliances are at. And I'm fine with those kinds of episodes. Matthew C, the merge is next week. It is. Like, this isn't the merge. I don't care. A merge, like, imagine if you were like, hey, I'm merging into traffic, but actually you were driving away from traffic. You were like driving the other way. People would look at you like you were an idiot because it's not what the word means. But anyway, that's not really what my point is. I felt like the editors did a great job with what they were given. I think one of the biggest things about Survivor is supposed to be about the journey, not so much the end result. And so with Survivor, that's how it's always been throughout the history of the show. With Survivor, they're not going to rig it. Whoever goes home, goes home. And when you get two people that were very predictable to go home, you have to edit those people to go home. And I thought they did a very good job. Honestly, part of me started to think Cheyenne was going, because in my opinion, I think that Mitch may have been the one who went home had these two tribes gone at different times. Like, had that been reversed, and Say was already going to be on the jury, I think they may have voted Mitch out, because Mitch was a bigger jury threat and a bigger game player. Like, he was better at the game overall. So then I started thinking to myself, well, if you're looking at that from this other grouping that is there, what makes the most sense? Well, what makes the most sense for that grouping? maybe it would have been to vote Shaheen out of the game because he's a bigger threat. He's more of a strategic player, and Cedric is somebody that maybe could have been used throughout the game. So I did start to think Shaheen was going, but I've always said,
Part of me did think he was going.
I was probably about 25%.
25. I don't think I ever got that high. Because to me, what we've seen from David so much this season is like very adamant about keeping the strong players in. And he even mentioned it. He called it the strong alliance. It's him, it's Joe, Shaheen, Eva, and Kyle. That's like the strong five. And he is not wavering from this. And I don't know if you simply saying one of the strong people in the game has an idol. It's like, look, did David met Shaheen like 2 or 3 days ago?
Yeah.
How long has it been? Because they never were, they weren't on the original tribe together. They didn't swap onto the same tribe together. And if I'm David and I want strong players and I like trust these people, I don't know if I'm thinking, wow, Shaheen hasn't told me he has an idol yet when I met him 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I thought like if David was playing true to himself and what we've seen, what the show has showed us so far, that him flipping on Shaheen this early.
I don't think he was going to do it though. I thought there was a potential we could have gotten Camilla, Kyle and Kyle and Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, but we never saw that scene. Because the story put this decision onto David, whether are Kyle and Camilla going to be able to convince David? Are they going to be able to put enough heat on Shaheen with this idol story that David would be able to flip on him this early? Mary never got brought up. That was running through my mind. Like if David's not in on it, just go to Mary and you know, you have Cedric's vote. Cedric wrote Shaheen's name down. You know, you're getting a vote there. So all you need is to find one other person. And if David's not biting, what allegiance does Mary have to Shaheen? Where we didn't even really hear really where her head.
I don't think she had a confession. Yeah.
She just kind of lumped herself in with that majority. So that's interesting. I do think though, from Camilla's perspective, at least, that it was very wise to try to get Shaheen here. So I think that move was valid for some people, but I also think David made the right move for himself.
Yeah. Do you think that the argument of we think he has an idol was ever going to be strong enough of a pitch for David?
No. When they were coming up with this scheme, I thought they were going to say, hey, Shaheen just tossed your name out there. Mm-hmm. Or he's mentioned your name, you know, maybe yesterday or earlier this morning. Or, you know, he's already shown signs that he wants to flip on this five. Just because Shaheen has an idol, if that's true, doesn't mean that Shaheen is going to use it against your final five alliance. He could use it to help get you there. Remember, there's only 12 people left at this point, and only 10 next week. So even if you survive this with all five of those people, you still don't have a majority. So maybe having an idol would be a good thing. It wasn't strong enough of a sell. You needed to put more, you needed something more biting, something that was really going to stir David up. But that comes with risk. If you tell him something that's so outlandish, like, yeah, Shaheen literally came up to me 5 minutes ago and said, let's all vote out David. He's too much of a threat. David might kind of see through that and be like, really? That doesn't seem... Let me go talk to Shaheen. And then you're just playing a game of he said, she said. And I don't know if you're coming out on top against a debate coach. So
yeah,
there's probably a middle ground somewhere in here, but yeah, the idol was not convincing enough.
Yeah, it just wasn't compelling enough, and I'm wondering where the guy who is in our I was on with Gabe for Predictions and Power Rankings. Somebody was in our chat being like, Kyle goes home, he's such an obvious boot, I'm gonna pop in after the episode just so I can tell you all I told you so. I'm wondering where that guy is, because what his whole theory was, and I think that this might have been circulating, because all of a sudden people were coming in tonight's episode pretty confident Kyle was going home, which felt like that would come out of nowhere from the edit. But when you start seeing that enough on the internet, you know that that's probably been spit out somewhere that people shouldn't be looking. Someone said
they had info.
Yeah, somebody said they had info and then they didn't. And what the pitch seemed like it was that, well, Kyle and Camilla are going to overplay their hand and then Kyle's going to end up getting Guy. When I heard the idol thing, it's like, well, there's no getting got there. Like they would have had to have said, hey, David, Shaheen's talking about booting you. But the problem is it's never going to work because David's just going to walk straight over to Shane and say, hey, Camille and Kyle are saying this. And Shane's going to go, why would I want to boot you and work with them? He's like, he would just say, my closest allies in the game are Eva and Joe, and they want to work with you. Why would I ever boot you? It would make zero sense. And so I do think ultimately people can complain, oh, it wasn't super exciting. It was just like the predictable boots, whatever you want to say. These were the right moves tonight. Like them voting out Cedric here confirms to Eva and Joe on the other side that no funny business took place. If you want to play a big flashy game and you just want to make a name for yourself, so maybe you'll get called for another season, then go ahead and boot Shaheen here. But I think the smartest move is to keep Shaheen because what you're at a split tribal. And I actually think the split tribal is what probably causes this to not be more dramatic. Because if they're all at one
That's
tribal,
what we're saying.
Yeah, you can blame other people, but by splitting them, now you have Joe and Eva on the other side, where if Kyle and David and Camilla all decide to vote out Sean, you have to explain that to Joe and Eva. You probably have to explain that to Star, even though Star's whole pitch was, I want to get rid of the strong people. But still, there's too many people you have to explain it to that are going to be shell-shocked by what happened. And we saw this take place in season 43 when James ends up getting voted out at this split tribal council. It kind of blows up the game a little bit from there. So for me, this feels like a missed opportunity to just let them play it out, but 100% right moves on both sides here. I think you don't want Say on the jury and you don't want her making that next portion because now people say, well, I don't want her on the jury, but I don't mind her sitting next to me. And I think you want to boot Cedric here because it pisses nobody off. And that's how you're playing Survivor. When you're at a split tribal council and have the numbers, just don't piss people off. Regroup at 10. You have an alliance of 5. Why would you want to mess that up?
Yeah, I think the split leads people to just do status quo. Like if I'm in a good spot, you know, especially if you can't communicate with your allies and what they're doing on the other side. So it's kind of like, let's just get through this. We're eliminating 2 people right now. Make sure one of them's not you. If you have the numbers, there's no reason to rock the boat. No. There's just not really any incentive. Whereas I do think if you are with your full alliance and with all the game pieces on the board, you have a little bit less risk. Like one slip or talking the wrong person, like you're a little more insulated within a bigger group of people than when you're on a tribe of 6. So if we're doing I told you so, Phil, because you just were I told you so-ing the guy who claimed that he was going to come and I told you so about Kyle. Cedric didn't win. He didn't cook. We had so much Cedric love early in the pre-merge. I gave him the willy a couple times, at least once, at least the second time at that split tribal council or that at the post-swap tribal council. Willy's a bad thing. I know, but I got heat for it. People saying like Cedric's dominating the game. He's steering every vote. He's in control. And I'm like, these votes are just bad for his game. Get Say out of there. And I do think that if Cedric had eliminated Say and kept Justin instead, I know that's a big butterfly effect, Phil, but like you have to think he performs better. Like he lasts longer than 11th place. I think he would have.
I mean, there's never 100% guarantee, but I think right. Matthew C. hits it on the head here. People were perplexed by said strategy, and I was confused by it, and a lot of people were confused by it. What was he trying to do? And people kept saying, you got to get rid of Say. Because she's too big. I thought what was most interesting about this episode was the fact that Cedric became so easily the person to boot instead of Mary. Mary's name never even came up, and it was just assumed that Mary had some sort of connection. Cedric didn't have any connections at all. And I thought that was fascinating because when did Mary's connections really start? When did that begin? We didn't see that. And I think I truly believe, and I mean this like look, Cedric went through the journey. He makes the jury, good for him. But I truly believe that if Cedric would have been the first person to go here and he hadn't literally dictated 3 people who went home because of just his vote, I think Cedric's the invisible person on this season. I think he is your person who they kind of just disregard almost from the edit because it's hard to put together a story around Cedric's strategy because it was all over the place, even though it really what the thing is with Cedric's strategy, it actually wasn't that all over the place. It was very like, I'm gonna stick with Say I'm just going to keep on keeping say. It just was a hard thing to make sense. And so that brings me to this super chat that we got from Skylander Gamer TV. In Say's first tribal, where Cedric could not have a chance of voting her out, she gets voted out. Very ironic. I love that. But anyway, thank you for the super chat there. But it's just like Cedric was, it was hard to figure out what was going on with Cedric tonight. Like so hard to figure out what was going on with Cedric all season. And so we kept on saying, just because you're making the decision doesn't mean you make a good move. And I think that's something that's kind of been lost in the Survivor community. Overall, a lot of times people will just say, well, the best player of the week is the one who made the decision. You got to look at how you're setting yourself up for the end game. And that's what you were arguing. And I think it makes 100% sense. And I do think that a lot of that comes back to, though, in the new era of Survivor, so much, and really this has been going on since the 30s, so much is based around just who's going home, what happened at the tribal council. And we were kind of tricked almost by Survivor editors that whatever happens at tribal is the thing that matters. And therefore that's who you should respect and like be the most pumped about in that moment and feel like they're doing the best. That wasn't how it was in the very early seasons of Survivor. It was like, hey, this could be a boring vote, but how is it setting up somebody for a deep run in the game? Everything Cedric did, you and I being day one fans of this show could sit there and say, he's not setting himself up at all to go any further than where he did.
Yes. And in an era of Survivor, the new era, and in the 30s where strategy is so heavy, the edit usually grants some positivity to players who put themselves in the decision-making places in the game. Like when you have soul power to eliminate or when you're in the middle, that's usually a good place to be. And the edit will build up that character positively. I never saw that from Cedric. It's never like the show wanted us to think that Cedric was some strategic mastermind. It just, with all these lost votes and all these journeys, it just ended up being that he found himself in these middling situations where he did have decision power, but it was never like the let Cedric cook comments or like he's controlling every vote here. It's not out of someone taking over the game strategically. It kind of was just falling into place. And that's also why I feel like I never really fell for it, because the show didn't want us to fall for it. I don't think anyone here tonight, if you're a diehard Survivor fan following Edgic, or if you're someone who watches more casually, you know, once a week, doesn't go online, I don't think anyone was like, oh my gosh, Cedric, the strategic mastermind of the season's finally eliminated, because that wasn't the story we were really being told either.
And I do think, you know, I've been saying it all along, because I always overlook at confessional counts and stuff like that. And it is what it is. Like I kept saying, Cedric's barely getting confessionals and he is dictating who goes home week after week after week after week. That's very telling if you want to look at it from an edgic perspective. And I know that some people don't like to listen to that, but at this point, if you're listening to the Survivor Specialists in 2025, you know that we're going to get into edgic and we're going to get into all of that stuff. So I do believe that, you know, they would have given Cedric a lot more if he was going to be if he was going to be actually having a bigger impact on this end game. Now, who does Cedric vote for to win at the end? That's going to be, you know, when we do our jury roulette at the end, I feel like that is an absolute coin flip, because I don't know anything about anything with Cedric. I don't know who he's aligned with. Maybe it's Mitch. I don't know. But I mean, we got a bunch of little snippets, like the dust was sprinkled around and it never amounted to something. And I think, you know, with 90-minute episodes of Survivor, I'm fine with just character development for the sake of character development. I miss when we had that kind of stuff. I don't need everything to amount to something. But if you think about it now, it's like we saw a lot of scenes with Cedric like talking to Mitch. That's just character development. Like that didn't actually impact anything, and it's not going to have an impact on this endgame.
Yeah, but I don't know if I can sit here and say this was like a character development heavy episode just because the boots weren't good. I think when you have two tribal councils in one episode, it actually reduces how much like beach time. I think we go to the challenge way earlier, and then we have two long segments that are all about the vote. And then you have two tribal councils. So like, I don't feel like I learned that much about the cast or got that much. I mean, maybe little things here and there. I think the Mitch scene at the water well was like pretty telling. But we had a lot of business to take care of, and the business just didn't turn out to be that fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was more talking. I get exactly what you're saying here because I agree with you. I don't think there was that much character development here at all. I thought we had, and I'm waiting for the confessional count to come out, but I thought it was very one note. It was like very heavy on Mitch and Shaheen, and like it was a lot of like the same players talking over and over. I was more referring to, remember when Cedric was telling Mitch, like, I used to have a stutter, what's your trigger, all that. Way earlier on,
previous episode,
a lot of people were talking about, oh, that's going to set up the two of them doing something. It's like, actually, it didn't set up anything.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think that's a scene. That's a scene you're including regardless. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. I just think a lot of people, if you have that human moment, you're going to include that in the episode.
Yeah. And sometimes there's human moments just for the sake of human moments, which I think sometimes people miss. I mean, so think about this, Will. Let's kind of break this down. We're 20 minutes in. Let's talk about this.
Sure.
Last season, they mixed this up. And when they did the split, we saw just one tribe go. And that was the tribe with Tiana. And Tiana ends up going home because Rachel gets that advantage where she's able to leave tribal council. Doesn't, I mean, it sets up a Rachel win. It allows her to go deeper in the game. She would have went home there. It was kind of dramatic. But as soon as Rachel leaves that tribal, we know that Tiana is going home. I'm just kind of going through this just to kind of give examples of how these splits have worked out.
Yeah, no, that wasn't good. But that was also just really bad luck on the way that the rock draw shook out.
Yeah. In 46, we had Tim and Soda go. And that was where Tim went home and Ben and Tim both voted for Hunter. And then Soda went home and Soda and Tevin both voted for Venus. I mean, probably more interesting if they all go, but then that does lead to like the craziest stretch of episodes.
But it, like, because we had that crazy stretch after, like when you're talking technically post-merge Survivor 46, those are like the two like most boring votes.
Yeah. And then you go to 45, Sifu goes home in the first part, and then Caleb goes home the day after, literally hours after playing the shot in the dark. So that gets overshadowed. So what I'm pointing out here, and I'm not going to keep going back to 41 to 44, because we all know in 41 and 42.
Do it. Keep going.
You want me to keep going? All right, I'll keep going.
Sure, because I mean, we're 0-for on this working so far. Like,
we are.
48, we're going backwards, but like we haven't had a good one yet.
So you go to 44, there actually isn't one. Because that was the one where Josh was in the no tribe phase. Matthew ends up getting pulled from the game. So I don't know if like there was like if it was planned or not, but there actually isn't a split at 44. 43, the split is when James and Ryan go home. So we do get the James blindside here where Noelle plays the extra vote or steals Owen's vote. That's what she does. She steals Owen's vote and James goes home. James probably goes home anyway in a 3-2, but yeah, that was a good one. Ryan going home wasn't really dramatic. So we can say, sure, that's working, right?
Sure. We got a good vote out of it.
So they're saying in 44, it was the Matt boot. Oh, cause that's when Heidi was able to, what did Heidi do again?
Oh, right. Cause Matt didn't bring his bag and they were talking about, could you communicate like, Bernie, get me my idol or my bag or my what something was in a bag and they went to different beaches and it was like, could you bring it to the whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. And then 42 is when we had the Tori Roxroy thing where Roxroy gets voted out and then Tori goes home because Drea is like, I'm looking at Roxroy sitting over there. That changes. I don't really think that was like the most exciting boot of that season. And then in 41, and this is the last one, thankfully, we have Nasir and Evie go. So Nasir goes home. Again, that's where Shan plays an extra vote. That is where Heather and Nasir can't vote because it's a split vote. And that's where Shan switches her extra vote from the 3-3 tie to get Nasir out of the game. And then Evie goes home 4-2. So anyway, I don't really remember 41. I hate 41 so much that it's like, whatever. What do we have? 2 out of 6? 2 out of 8, whatever it is.
We're not even talking 2 out of whatever. I mean, we might say 2 out of, because we're doubling the tribal councils here. So like it's 2 out of like 14, right? Like, because there's two tribal councils every time we do this. And we're saying maybe there was 1 or 2 votes out of what? If we've done it 8 times, that's 16 tribal councils. We haven't done it every time. So
yeah,
maybe there's like, and we're when Mac like 14.
And when Matt goes home, that's because the other side is all safe. And that's where Franny and Danny, who probably would have been aligned with him, maybe Heidi, they all can't protect him. So it's like, I don't know if that's a good one either. So yeah, what I guess what we're coming to the conclusion of is just do the double boot in the pre-merge, because the post-merge is better when the players just play. Like it is. I don't know. Is there anything else to say about that?
We've talked about different solutions. And I think one of them, Phil, you just mentioned, and we might have seen this in 41 or some early New Era season.
Sarah and Abraham both went in the first episode.
That's fine. And then you get two tribes going to tribal council. You usually have a longer premiere time. You usually have, I mean, I know 90 minutes doesn't sound like a lot now, but you maybe get a 2-hour premiere. You can go to two tribal councils. You're just knowing to get the cast. You have you're guaranteeing yourself two tribes of six going. You have the tribe that wins immunity. They're safe, but the two losers, they're both going to tribal. It's dangerous. It's bad. Like, I don't know why we don't do that, because it just feels kind of just unfair and messy here. And again, it's so random. We're drawing rocks to decide these groups. Is that fun? Another way to do it, Phil, is you just do, we saw this more in the 20s, whereas like, we're going to do immunity challenge, tribal council, immunity challenge, tribal council within 1 hour long episode. And they did that multiple times. And honestly, at least it does feel rushed. Yes. But at least you're getting two full vote outs. And maybe that's a time where you actually rush through a vote that wouldn't be that good. And you get one good one, one bad one, maybe, I don't know. But now that we have 90 minutes, that probably isn't as bad as it was in the 20s.
No,
like that would probably be. I always think about
the Sunday and Will Wall. Cause that was like, their edits were so bad. And it was like, well, they're going to go in that back-to-back portion of the game. Somebody else here, Ryder, said with another super chat, thank you, if they keep doing split tribals, would you rather be now or mid-merge like Ghost Island and Island of the Idols? Because remember, we see Tommy survive one of those in the post-merge of Island of the Idols. I just think, for me, because we see so many votes with six or fewer people, I look forward when we get to see votes with more than six people. And so every season, like, I'd rather watch them vote at 13, vote at 12, vote at 11, vote at 10, vote at 9, because ultimately, when you play Survivor, you can strategize for six person votes. Now, obviously, the people aren't chess pieces. They're people with their own strategies and their own minds and their own feelings. But you can kind of think through. We've seen a 2-1-1-1. You know, we've seen splits. We saw in season 44 when it was like a 2-1 vote out and an idol was played, so only one person got it. You've seen different variations with shots in the darks being played and stuff like that. To me, I look forward to when we get to see a bigger vote, because we don't get to see those that often. And I thought last week was just a classic split vote. And actually, at the beginning of this episode, we see a bunch of people trying to figure out, wait, who voted for who did what was going on. We see Say saying, I wrote it in cursive, which I thought was brilliant. I love that, because Cedric does know her handwriting, but she wanted to get one over on Cedric. So she did. And she wrote it in cursive. Brilliant. Love that. And we're seeing a lot of a damage control there. And I think after this, you go back, there's 10 people left, and it's like, oh, why'd you vote out Say? Well, we all kind of wanted her out. Okay, why'd you vote out Cedric? Well, no enemies. Great. Okay, move on. There's no drama to dissect. And honestly, there's less wiggle room for the players who are playing the game.
Yeah, I think you really hit it by saying the votes are more interesting with more people. And it's like, we're finally getting to 12 people here, and now we're abandoning that. And we abandoned final 12 vote. We abandoned final 11 vote also. We're missing two votes that have a lot of people that we could, you know, really sink our teeth into. And we're farther in the game. We know the players better. So like, rushing through them feels like a disservice, because we've invested so much time in the story. Whereas if you do it episode 1, 2-hour premiere, give me two tribal councils with six people, we've taken care of it, and it doesn't feel rushed. It's almost like you get to know two tribes. I mean, how often in the New Era have we seen the disaster tribe go to, you know, lose the first two challenges? So you see one tribe go to tribal council the first episode, second episode, that tribe goes right back because they don't have Flint and they can't boil water, whatever. They're weakened, and the other tribes have rewards. And now you only get to know this one tribe really well. So I think there's benefits. I think we just fixed Survivor.
I mean, look, I feel for, you know, Abraham and Sarah and whatever you want to say when they go in episode one of season 41. But at the end of the day, I've met both of them in real life. They're very nice, but I don't know them at all when they're on TV. And I'd rather it that way. I would rather feel nothing. And I get that that sucks if you're like, oh, I did all of this and I'm out in the first night of Survivor. It's the way the cookie crumbles, man. Like, I don't have that much sympathy for the players like I used to, because it's like, look, this has been on for so long at this point. You know how crazy this can be. I think from a viewer perspective, not getting connected to the people who are going out early. The thing is, no matter who gets, whoever the second boot of a season is, you almost never connect with that person. Almost never. And like, Brandon Donlan was a huge character on his season. Like, he was. Zach Wurtenberger had some good moments on his season. But Zach and Brandon were also in weird circumstances of a quit and a medevac. So because of those two things, you might get to know these players a little bit better, because the first episode didn't have to focus on anybody really going to tribal and that buildup and everything. I know that Brandon's tribe went to tribal, but it just so happened that he was on it. But what I'm saying is, I am more often going to feel a connection with the 12th and 11th place finishers than I am with the 18th and 17th place finishers. So get the 18th and 17th place finishers out there. I'm sorry that that's going to suck for two people when the show starts, but now edit your 12th and 11th like more excitingly, because maybe Sifu owns a room when he walks into a room. And when you watched him on TV, you said, who the hell is Sifu? So like, I would just rather it go that way. I think that's way better. And I think that's what they should do. I do think that's what they should do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with it. Should we talk about this season though? In this episode, what else do we want to? We kind of talked about the Shaheen vote and how, you know, it was probably too early for David to do this. Camilla and Kyle did not make a strong enough case by just saying he might have an idol. You know, should we hop to the other tribe and talk through like what was going on with their decision?
Yeah, so the Shaheen one, it was between Shaheen and Cedric. And then on the other side, it was Mitch and it was Say. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the question I have for you, because somebody asked me this and I want to see what you say. Do you think that had this tribe won the challenge and won the feast, and they are now going second, so the person who is voted out of the game is going to be on the jury, do you think they would have voted out Mitch instead of Say?
I wonder. You know, we saw that. What season? Was that season 43? We're like, okay, if this person goes, we're going to vote this person. If that person goes, we're going to vote this person. It was like Jesse, Cody, and Gabler going second. They're like, depending on who goes home, that will be our sign. And they actually didn't go through with it. Like, they kind of botched it, or like, we were told, the audience, we were told one thing. And then who was it? James goes home, and then they're like, okay, let's get Ryan out now.
Yeah.
Even though that I think wasn't their original plan. I do think there's some good reasoning to that, to be like, okay, wow, Cedric's gone. Say has really got nobody. Like, Mitch is still part of this Siva group. Siva still has five members. Mitch is still like, we keep hearing that Mitch is a big threat. I mean, we've seen him perform well in challenges. He has a really compelling story. People seem to like the guy. So maybe you're right, though. Maybe there's a world where if Joe's able to outlast David in that challenge, that we have a different result tonight.
Yeah, because for me, we heard, what did Joe say at four different confessionals tonight of how great Mitch is at the game and how he's the one who sneaks in and wins and all that. I mean, maybe that's foreshadowing that Mitch wins, like his edit's been fine. And maybe this is where his game picks up. But I almost feel like it was, I don't want to sit at Final Tribal and need to figure out what is Say saying about me at Ponderosa. And then what is going to be what you need to do or say to get her vote. Like, she's unpredictable, and that scared people away. And maybe it was a respect thing for Mitch, where they were saying, you know what? We want this guy to at least make the jury phase of the game. Like, we like this guy a lot. We like him more than Say. So we would rather he make the jury portion of the game, because it's been more of his dream. And this is a cast that is playing a little bit more I don't know, like a little more emotionally. Like they're not over the top emotional like Gabon, but they're playing a little bit more emotionally where they're thinking about those kinds of things. I mean, we saw Cedric get rid of Justin just because, you know, say tugged on the heartstrings the right way. So for me, I sit here and I wonder, like, were there other factors that led to say going home here rather than Mitch? And if David and Joe were just swapped, you probably still get the same vote because David and Joe are in the same alliance. If they're just swapped, is there the discussion of Mitch already made the jury? Let's get him out of here before he can do any more damage. And I don't know. I mean, the one thing that I think Mitch did a really good job of tonight is pulling out that block of vote, playing the block of vote, and telling Joe, this is what I'm going to do to ensure that it's Say who goes home. So that nobody gets astray here. She doesn't play her shot in the dark. She can't do anything. I'm going to do this. I want to work with you moving forward. And I think for Joe, it's great to listen to that and say, you're right, Mitch. Let's make this happen. Because you really, like, why close a door that could be open? There was no open door with Say. Him and Say, that conversation of Say trying to talk strategy with him was uncomfortable as hell. The two of them have nothing to talk about. But right. Mitch and you can talk and can figure out how to work through this game. So why would you close that door?
Yeah, that block of vote, again, weird. Like, how do you play this?
I know. Does he always have to go first? Is this easy to manipulate? If you're sitting there, do you say, wow, that guy keeps voting first? He must have an advantage?
But did he play? He didn't play. We didn't see him play it in the booth, did we?
No. But we see Say go up there and look down and go, oh, no, because she didn't know until that moment.
Right, I know. But when did he block it then? Is he doing this before they go to tribal council, like putting it in tree mail and writing down Say's name? Do you think he's doing it in the booth before? Because then you're right. Then you are like kind of like if you have a block of vote, you need to basically be the first one to vote so that you are able to pick. Like, even if you're the second one to vote, that's kind of unfair. Like, wait, I can't use my block of vote on Phil just because Phil got to vote first and I'm second? Yeah. Like, that wouldn't be fair. I feel like the only way to do this fairly would be to do it before.
This is what Noah Salmon is saying here. You do not play it in the booth. You tell production beforehand. But what if you get to Tribal and you decide, wait, I don't want to do that? Like, yeah. What if there's a blow up at Tribal, like what happens with Julia Carter?
It's just like, it's just bizarre because no other advantage is played off camera ever. Like, that's not, there might be ones where you put a name in an envelope or something, but at least the audience is told the mechanic in which you're playing your advantage. This is just like, huh? It's such a bizarre hole that this block of vote has. And I get wanting to do it publicly, but I mean, like, figure something else out that we can see or show us, you know, when he finds it, when he gets block a vote, read it aloud. Say, before you head to tribal council, if you wish to block somebody's vote, write their name on this and put it in tree mail. And it's like, okay, at least then we know how the thing works.
Mm-hmm.
Am I being silly here? Is this
no?
Like,
I think you're right. I mean,
I feel like it's just such a uniquely distinct way to go about an advantage. Oh, you tell a producer beforehand, yeah, but. How do we know that that happens? You have to like listen to Jeff's podcast.
And I wonder if Jeff will cover it there. I mean, maybe it's as simple as like when the season's over, maybe we can just ask Mitch, how did you play this? What happened? Because I want to know what happens there too. I agree with you. It's weird because I feel like at tribal councils, there's always so much that takes place that if you're making this decision at the tribe camp. And then I was going to say, like, you get to Edge of Extinction when Julia Carter goes home. Julia Carter wasn't supposed to be the person going home that night. So if you're Julie Rosenberg and you said beforehand, hey, I'm going to play my block of vote, and then that whole tribal council happens and everybody comes to a unanimous decision to vote out Julia Carter, you still have to play your block of vote on whoever the hell you were going to play your block of vote on. That doesn't make sense to me. I feel like there has to be something more to this. And maybe there is a confessional of him saying it, but I just don't feel that this is played in a way that makes sense. I agree with you. I feel like this is a little weird. It's a little funky.
Yeah, it is funky. But it could be too, like, that is, again, I'd be okay with whatever they do. Just show it to us. Mm-hmm. And if you have to do it before tribal council, that's just part of like, that's just a con of the way this advantage works. And if you've already decided and something happens at tribal that changes things, if there's a live tribal, then it's too bad. You already decided that's how the advantage works. I just want to know how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I feel like if that was spelled out a little bit more, I feel like if Mitch had it in his confession where he said, oh, like, I got to do this, like, I'm going to play this, I have to figure out before we go to tribal council. It's like, okay, now we know that. So I'm wondering what the rule is on a block of vote. And so if anybody knows, that's it. Trevor Eisenhower really wants a picture posted because Blake was posting pictures last time. In the chat, in the thing here, Will, with all the milk talk that's been going on, he was just posting nonstop pictures of milk, and the Survivor players from season one who were doing that. So let me see if I can appease Trevor Eisenhower here and get him a screen share very quickly.
Is it a screen share or do you just like upload a photo and show it?
There's a photo. I just did a photo here. I don't know. There's me and Say. That's exciting, right? That's fun.
You like there that, you go.
Jason? Yeah. Everybody can see that, right? There you go.
Is that there's Bradley Seth. In the background?
That is Bradley. Bradley photobombed that picture.
Yeah, I don't it's know a how photo of you. It. It's a photo of you and Bradley.
Yeah.
And then Say happens to be there.
Say very much insisted on that photo being taken with a flash. And somebody said to me, man, Phil looks really drunk in that picture. The funny thing is, Was I drinking that night? Yes, but I also just look stupid in pictures. My wife gets really mad at me because I won't take any normal photos anytime. So at these Survivor events, like, again, I don't take normal photos. So like all of my photos, like one of them, Ben Katzman's giving me like a noogie. Like that's just like, I can't take normal photos. So for that one, I kind of tried a little hard. There you go, Will. Now we're going.
I think this is how you do it.
Whether I'm drunk or not, I look dumb in photos. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Why do we have a picture of Mitch up, Will?
Well, I think someone requested photos. You screen shared a photo browsing application that you have photos saved to. This is now fully uploaded to the stream. So it's within our, I don't know. I think this is more, we can now that we know how to do this, maybe we'll think of some fun way to do it. There you go. There you go. There's Bradley and Phil with Say also in there.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
Okay.
I like that, Will. So yeah, we figured it out. Will figured it out first. Now we all know how to do it. So now it's just going to be a photo podcast. We're not even going to talk anymore.
That's going to bring people to YouTube if we start doing photos.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a StreamYard tutorial right now because of the episode not being our favorite.
So let's talk then a little bit because we didn't get to hear your thoughts about last week either. You weren't on the recap last week. It was Blake and I. And so last week
was kind of meh, right?
Yeah. What was your take? So how are you feeling? Because you were pretty, you weren't high on the season early on, but you were like, this is entertaining. You were into it. Obviously the Justin thing was really exciting. That was crazy. But what was your,
I thought we had some fun pre-merge tribal councils, but like so far the pre-merge has been pretty much a snooze, right?
Yeah.
Like I thought last week for a merge episode, I don't know. Merge episodes are usually so fun and it's so chaotic. And this was just like, okay, everyone wants Charity gone. Outside shot of Say, but she's probably the decoy, and Charity goes.
Yeah.
So the best part of the merge was the milk conversation.
It was. We didn't get any, were you surprised there was no milk with the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? That's the really, really big question.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't part of the plan, once milk has become such a prominent character, like it's a part of season 48. Like,
do you know the name of your tribe?
It means like dairy or something in another language. Did I see that somewhere?
Literally means coconut milk, I think, in
coconut in Fijian, milk.
But I think it means like coconut and milk, but when you combine it, it's just milk. Like I think their tribe name is literally milk.
There we go. Colton yeah. Park.
Exactly. Milk, I mean, I think that's how David got the thing on his nose, right? He bumped his glass of milk into his nose, and that's why he has that cut on the bridge of his nose now.
Yeah, I guess so. Was there not milk with the peanut butter and jelly? Because that is an item. That's an item where like you need milk with pee because like peanut butter will stick to the roof of your mouth and like washing it down with some cold milk. That's another. There aren't many food items that like need milk, but PB&J is one of them. So that's pretty shocking. They didn't make sure. Maybe they're like, we did the milk beat already. We've already done it. It's like, I don't know. Keep bringing milk out.
I mean, why not, right? If it's going to keep working, keep going. All right, Let's talk about kind of the future a little bit here then. So I didn't get to hear your thoughts on this meathead macho integrity, honesty alliance. What do you think? After seeing this week, we still have Eva, we still have Joe, we still have Kyle, we still have Shaheen, we still have David, and then Camilla and Kyle, we know are very close. Are you thinking that's the final six of this season and Chrissy and Mitch and who else? Star, who we haven't even mentioned yet because she had a great episode last week and barely did anything tonight.
Mary.
Are these the people going out now?
I do not think we'll get that final six. The plan never works out that smoothly. However, I do believe the intentions of this alliance are pretty pure. They're whole, you could say.
Oh.
I believe they want to do this. We've seen people be kind of a little on edge about Shaheen, so maybe he gets picked off early, or maybe he does make a move and realizes, like, everyone's scared of me. I should probably make a move. I don't think it's going to be a clean down the middle sweep for this alliance. But it does feel as though our winner is coming from this. And like, this is a very real alliance that is going to stick together for some time. And maybe pieces will fracture off here and there, and we might have some twists and turns along the way. But I do see the winner of this season coming out of the six names you just mentioned. And you are putting Camilla in there. She was not mentioned by David tonight as one of the strong five. So I think they view themselves as a five, and then we know Camilla's tagging along.
Camilla and Kyle, though, are kind of in the power position of that alliance because they can go either way with it.
I know. If they want. I'm at this point, I think Kyle wins. He would be my winner pick. I know we keep talking David wins, and I still find that to be a possibility. I still think Shaheen's a possibility. Joe's coming on pretty strong, except it's hard for me to see Joe as a winner. I feel like Joe's arc and story is just purely emotional. Although we did see him have a cutthroat confessional tonight. So maybe Joe like flips into game gear, and we really spent time with emotional Joe early on due to his moment with Eva. So you have some front runners here. I don't know if Camilla has as good of a chance as I want her to have. Like, I want her to be front running. She's done just like I thought you should give her the Philly when Kyle and Camilla pulled that move, because it seems like she kind of led the charge on putting that false narrative out there. But from what I'm seeing right now, that Kyle was the one explaining to us that we're the most secretive duo in the game. We're hearing from him more. Also, when we see Kyle and Camilla approach David about Shaheen's idol, which ended up not working, we only saw Camilla doing that. And I don't know if that was maybe the edit sheltering Kyle from a plan that didn't go their way, because Camilla and Kyle were pretty upfront with the audience. Like, hey, in an ideal world, we could get David to vote Shaheen. And so when they go and act that plan, we see Camilla doing it and we see it not working. So maybe I'm reading into much there. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe Camilla just went up and she was the only one, and Kyle and David didn't even talk about it. But I would put Kyle as like front running.
I think the biggest thing with Kyle right now is that he has a relationship with everybody where Camilla doesn't. And whether that's, you know, because the macho men want to stay together or whatever it is, like, Camilla's being kind of kept out of that alliance for a reason. Like, she is not in that alliance. Kyle is. Kyle and Camilla. See, what's interesting is, will Camilla push? We're seeing next week and the next time on, David's going to be the vote. We see all of that, right? But is Camilla going to say to Kyle, we need to get rid of somebody from that meathead alliance here? And I'm calling them the meathead alliance because I don't really know what else to call them. I don't think they gave themselves
the strong five. That's what David called it today, since this is the strong five.
So with the strong five, if this is the strong five, does Camilla say to Kyle, we need to go make a weak five, and we need to go with Chrissy and Star and Mary, and we need to vote out one of these other people because they're just going to run this? Here's how I look at it. And Matthew C says it should be the Milky Way. I like that. I do like that. But here's how I look at it. And this is where, again, we've watched the show enough, and I think the editors know this because they've done a really good job in recent seasons. But like, Star, Chrissy, and Mary, who we didn't hear from tonight, they're really going to team up with Kyle and Camilla and overthrow the five people that we've heard from week in, week out the most, the stars of the show. And I know I'm lumping in Mitch with that other five right now, just for the argument of Camilla and Kyle go with that other group of three. I just don't feel like Star, Chrissy, and Mary have the story to ultimately make me even really give real consideration to somebody from the strong five or Mitch not winning. Like, I think we're down to, there are like, if you were to ask me right now, I'd say Kyle and David were my front runners. Shaheen and Camilla would be right behind them.
Joe, I would lump Joe in there.
Joe like would probably get lumped tier. In there. I'd probably say Eva's probably just a little notch below there. And then Mitch is below that. And then I don't think Chrissy, Mary or Chrissy, Star. Mary, or Star have a chance. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, and also the likelihood of Mitch, Chrissy, Star, Mary getting together with Kyle, Camilla, and like pulling one off, and then eliminating those other players. Then, like, what, your finale is Chrissy, Star, Mary, Kyle, Camilla? Like, that doesn't feel likely.
No, there's no way.
Like, there's no I way. Think. Joe or Shaheen, like, we're going to get one of those players, and David, like, one of those three is going to be in the finale. I don't imagine a world in which those three guys are all out before the finale. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know if that, if anything, again, I'm thinking of like not like one group taking over the other, but just maybe like little fractures. So, like, all right, David, really, he overplayed, he's getting too much power. Let's take David out. Okay, then let's go back to the status quo. Now, let's get Chrissy out of here. Mm-hmm. Okay. We got Chris. Yeah, I don't know. Shaheen's feeling a little too powerful. Okay, let's knock him out. And then we go back. And then, like, Kyle somehow pulls away with it, or Joe somehow. Or maybe Camilla has an outside chance. I don't know. I do like – I know we didn't hear from Mary, but I do like what Mary is putting down and giving us this season. I like her vibes. I don't think we've heard enough from her, but, like
– Mary and Star
I appreciate
both
what
fun.
She's doing. Yeah, Star's fun, too.
Like
Star
like
was very quiet until – until later in this episode. Like, we didn't hear from Star until like well after the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of how it's been all season with Star. It's like, we don't hear from her until after we've heard from everybody else. Right. That's what it kind of feels like. So I just don't feel like Star and Mary are entertaining. Chrissy, like, we're not really getting much of her. She's saying the right things, but we're just not getting it. We hear them all talking about, we're going to vote out. We want to vote out the strength. We want to vote out the strength. We can't have them going. Chrissy was really pushing hard for Mitch tonight. Then we turn around and we have Star saying, I want to vote out the strong people. We didn't hear really from Mary in this episode, but we see her at Tribal Council talking about what she was talking about. I just feel like you brought up a point earlier where you said, Joe, we finally started to hear a little bit of the cutthroat nature of Joe's game. I think we did. We finally started to hear how Joe is playing for himself and how he's looking at people as threats. And I think that Joe could start to see an uptick in his winner potential because he's starting to play and he's been quieter.
Emotional Joe worried about Mitch.
There he is. Here. Just keep it up. Keep it coming.
Which really is a sign from Joe that we haven't seen, because it's like, Mitch has the speech impediment and it has an amazing story. And Joe's like, that's, might be too amazing of a story.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, Joe, that's a flavor of you we haven't gotten yet.
Because he's worried about his kids. He's worried about his family. I think as he gets closer and closer, Joe starts to realize, wait, this is real. I could win this. Speaking of Joe versus David, look, we don't really get these types of one-on-ones anymore. We talk a lot about how, because there's three tribe starts, we don't get the types of old school physical challenges, everything like that. Joe versus David was pretty epic in that challenge tonight. We have Cody Brayman here. Were you laughing at the Shaheen music bit? Also, we need more Mary on our screens. We talked about Mary. But what did you think about this Shaheen music bit and Joe versus David in this challenge? And really, David's insane. David could have done that for another hour, dude. He wasn't even sweating. And there was
He was like one-handing it, wheeling it back and forth. I love this. And sometimes it like feels they get a little cutesy with the modern-day editing. But who cares? Like, this was fun. Shaheen's making the noises, and then they actually cut his noises in, and then they start making the music based off of his noises. So I thought that was cute. I also loved when Kyle's like, you're going to do – now's the time to apply. SurvivorCasting.com. Like, I like Kyle calling that out, and Jeff's like, let's just do it right now. Just get it over with, and, like, uses Kyle's line. That's fun, especially in an endurance challenge where you're going to be sitting there for a little bit. They were there over an hour. And is the challenge itself like the most exciting thing to watch? Like, probably not out of all the cool endurance challenges, but it's fine. I think being able to wheel it back up and then like recover and then you go down and like who's holding it, who's cocky. I feel like there is a lot there. But when you add all the extra seasoning of Cheyenne's noises and Kyle's call out of the casting, I think it just made for a really fun challenge. And then, yeah, the battle itself between our two superheroes going head to head was just a lot of fun. I had a great time with the challenge.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And I like to see those kinds of things from time to time. And it's fun to see, like, just, you know, here's the physical gameplay. Let's watch it. Let's just sit here as Survivor fans and watch something that we used to watch all the time, right? And just watch these two guys go head to head. And I think, like, endurance challenges I've always liked more than puzzles, because I feel like endurance challenges you can really play along with a little bit more as fans. Like, to see Eva go as deep as she did there, like, she's a force to be reckoned with. She kills it in that challenge. Cedric going out in 20 seconds is so funny. We were talking about Gabon for our podcast for Every Season Matters. And, you know, how Crystal Cox would go out in the first 10 seconds of every challenge. Like, it's funny. Cedric was kind of following in Crystal Cox's footsteps here. So I just really enjoyed, like, this whole segment. And I feel like, yes, it's getting more meta. Yes, it's getting a little cutesy. But at the same time, like, have fun with it. Like, make it fun. And that's what I want. Just make it fun. And this is more fun than, oh, they like pushed a couple things over and now they're making a puzzle that I can't tell who's actually ahead of who.
And with the obstacle courses and races and puzzles, it's like you're so focused on whatever task you're assigned to. And you don't have time to like hang out and joke around. And honestly, some of the best endurance challenges, they feel like camp life scenes. It feels like the cast just hanging out at camp, shooting the shit, because it's like, yeah, I got to hold on to this thing for 2 hours. I got to have my arm all the way above my head. And like, yeah, I am fully focused on that, but that doesn't mean I can't like shoot the shit with Jeff or like give the other team a hard time and maybe do some lighthearted shit talking. Like, I think that's all really fun. Or when you're at the sit out bench and you're just, I don't know, we used to have players finding ways to get out of the sun and lay under the bench, or, you know, all the temptations. So that's something maybe that we could have seen here. This one doesn't go as long, but how great are the temptations where they bring out all the food and you got to get down right now? Those have led to amazing Survivor moments. So I'm in for endurance challenges if they're as fun as this one.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else that we didn't cover on this episode?
Yeah, two big things we haven't covered.
Oh, Billy and the Willy.
That's right.
I think if you're looking at the Philly, God, it's got to be David for the challenge performance, I think. Nothing else happened in this episode that was all that dramatic. It went to the status quo. Nobody made any move to really flip anything. Camille and Kyle took a shot. Nothing happened. Shaheen, I'm not going to give credit just for not having a vote flipped on him. I think it's probably David. I think he's the Philly winner.
Yeah. And also kudos to David for not flipping on Shaheen prematurely when he was being lied to, like not taking the bait. So like, good on all accounts for David. The Willy, this is a tough one. I don't know.
Nobody really played bad.
Yeah, I mean, this could maybe be projecting down the line, but like, it wasn't the worst move, but I actually don't really have anyone else to go with, but I'm going to go Camilla for the Willy, because I think if you really did want to get Cheyenne blindsided here, you went about it the wrong way. And I do think for Camilla, who is not mentioned in the strong five by David, that like the big boys are leaving her out of this, and that is a threat to her game. And her kind of throwing out this, I think someone even in the comments said it was a half measure. Like, yeah, throwing out this kind of lazy attempt to throw shade onto Cheyenne. Okay, I'm getting freezing cold take here.
Freezing cold take from Matthew C.
I mean, I don't think there's anyone who played worse. And we had Camilla clearly with a goal tonight.
What about Ryder here? Chrissy, because of tribal, I can see Joe going for it now. She was over talking at that tribal, saying like, I'm going to lie to people eventually. Star even called her out on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think tribal's basing it all off tribal maybe isn't as, I don't know, doesn't cover the episodes, the full episode. I don't know. I feel like Camilla had an attempt. The best thing for her game was to get rid of Cheyenne tonight. Do you agree, Phil?
No, I don't. I don't think it was. I honestly think sticking to the status quo here made the most sense because now you can work with everybody to try to get Cheyenne next time. And if Kyle is truly your number one ally, you have the numbers at the next tribal because Mitch feels like he's an outcast. You have Camilla, you have Kyle because you are Camilla. You have Mary, you have Star, you have Chrissy. You could have six people right there.
See, I don't know if you can get all those people though on the same page.
But none of those people are working with the other side right now. None of them have ins right now.
I don't know. Mary seems pretty comfortable with who she like working with, who she worked with tonight. She wasn't feeling like she was an outcast at all.
I think if you do it tonight, you shoot your shot too early and you say to everybody, I'm playing. And now everybody's on high alert. I think right now everybody's so comfortable. Try to take one.
Okay. Well, even better reason to give it to Camilla then for like making up this lie that you didn't even need to do because you shouldn't have gone after Cheyenne. Either way, this lie didn't work and it could come back to bite her. And I'm giving her the willy. So
there you go. Hey,
Camilla gets
I'm not going to argue with you. All right. Well,
giving it to Chrissy, like, I don't think Chrissy is in a position to win. So it's hard for her to like do something that bad to fall from grace. Whereas I feel like the Willy should go to someone who really messes up their game or at least does something to reduce their odds of winning. And I don't think Chrissy did anything to reduce her odds of winning because I think Chrissy has zero chance of winning.
Yeah.
So, all right. It's a tough one.
I get you. All right. Well, on Sunday at 4 p.m., I'm going to be live doing predictions power rankings for episode 8 with Ron Clark.
All right.
Pump up everybody for the Ron Clark event that is Wednesday night, which I will be at. So if you're going to be at the Ron Clark event on Wednesday night, make sure you come say hi to me. I'll be wearing glasses. So everybody never knows who I am when I'm wearing my glasses. But yeah, I know. And you have like the light frame glasses. I have the really dark frame glasses. Here they are.
Everybody, they don't recognize you with glasses.
Dude, I'm like Clark Kent. It's crazy. It's crazy the amount of people who will just stare at me and be like, and like you can tell that they kind of know who you are, but like,
why are they staring at you?
Because they kind of know who you are and they're trying to figure out who you are. But they don't know why, because then there's other survivors there who are a lot more important than me. So they're like, well, he's not a survivor, but why do I know who that is? So yeah. Anyway, if you're gonna be at the Ron Clark event, it's the best. I don't know if there's still tickets around or not for it, but I'll be chatting with Ron on Sunday at 4 p.m. So make sure you tune into that tomorrow night at 5 p.m. I will be live doing Digging Deeper with Blake. So you can get Blake's thoughts on this entire episode. Zach is asking Phil equals Superman. I think yes. Are you saying no, Will? You don't think I could have beat David in that challenge today if I had my glasses on?
I wanted to see a reaction. You saying yes. Par for the course.
Par for the course. I know. You've never seen me compete in that challenge with David. Jay Burn Aquatics says Phil equals Howard the Duck. I think that's probably more accurate. Anyway, so that's going to be it for this episode. Please like this video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecials. We're finishing up Gabon for Every Season Matters. Then we're jumping into Token Chains. So excited to talk Token Chains. I just watched the martyr approach tonight before this episode. Oh God, that's the best episode in Survivor history. It is just a glorious thing, just put together so perfectly. So I'm so excited to talk about Token Chains there. McKenna and I will be doing the finale week of Australian Survivor either next Monday night or Tuesday. We haven't figured out exactly when we're going to do that yet, but it's going to be sometime next week. So make sure you tune into that. Only two episodes remaining of Australian Survivor Brains vs. Brawn 2. And that means also over on the Patreon, we are finishing up Brains vs. Brawn 1. So check out all of that stuff. I hope you all enjoyed this. I know that we somehow made this an hour and 3 minute podcast. I feel like we didn't talk about anything.
We talked about StreamYard tutorial, milk, what we should do at the merge, whether we like split tribals or not across like all seasons of the new era. But that's kind of what we had to do this episode.
There was nothing.
Are people out there like loving this season and are super like, I'm curious if you're like really enjoying the season, I'm happy for you. Good for you. I have not felt that way. Not saying it can't get better. I mean, post merges are usually much better than pre merges. So I'm hoping the best is yet to come, but like this one hasn't really been doing it for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens in the post-merge. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Will, I don't think you're alone in this, but we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, everybody.
See ya.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.